Hello, and I welcome you back to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. My name is Matthew, along with my wife, Victoria. We are the owners and operators of the Wash and Word hand car washing business, and we're located in Church Hill in Tennessee on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. There, this business exists for the sole purpose of getting God's Word out in a verse-by-verse Bible teaching format. We have opened up this business so that we can earn the money that it takes to support our family and to support this ministry. We never ask for any handouts, tithings, or charity. If you want to support the verse-by-verse Bible teachings that are going on, help us by coming by and letting us work to earn our keep. We want to settle the Word of God, not peddle it. And so all these teachings are free of charge to listen to or to download if you go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can listen to these messages and download them for free. You can also find out all the information you'd like about this business ministry. And that being said, let us continue in our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We are in John chapter 14, and we are struggling along through verses 15 through 21. We've spent the last three messages talking about those verses because they are what I like to call quicksand verses, where that is, the more you struggle, the harder sometimes it becomes to get out. And so we've been doing our very best. And by we, I mean me and the Holy Spirit, most of the Holy Spirit, in fact, all of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Spirit is bringing forth these messages in a clear, concise way, and also that they would be changing the lives of the hearers, which would be you, of course. You can also listen to these messages on WMCH AM 1260, Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. All right, let's pick it up because this is a verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We leave out nothing. We believe God's Word in its entirety is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God for all that is coming. And so, picking it up in verse 22 of chapter 14 in the Gospel of John. And before I read that, I encourage you to listen to the last few messages, either going to the website or coming by the Wash and Word and turning to 107.1 FM. We play these messages on a loop. And I encourage you again to listen to those to get us caught up. So, last thing Jesus said in verse 21, "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." And then in verse 22, it says, "Then Judas," not Judas Iscariot, "said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." We see that again. "My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Those words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." I'm going to stop right there. Now, those verses offer two different choices or two different camps as far as how we want to look at them. The question on the floor is this. Can you be a Christian and not obey the teachings or commands of Christ? Well, of course. Because let's face it, we are all sinners. We still at times sin. So you can be a Christian and not obey the teaching. We all do it. We all sin and we are still Christians. But here's the follow-up question. Can you be a Christian and not love Jesus? The very fact that you are a Christian is proof that you love Jesus. A person who does not love Jesus does not know Jesus, because the bottom line is to know him is to what? Is to love him. Now, before I go on, I want to just say one thing. Forget everything I said over the last four messages in John chapter 15 through 21. That is, forget about the complexity of the side paths that we have gone down in trying to explain and reconcile obedience versus the love that we have for God and Jesus versus obedience and the love that he has for us. Forget about those side roads for just a few minutes. Forget about all the teachings about obedience and about love. Going back again to verse 15, because I think some people might have been just maybe not totally on board with what's going on with this ever since we brought this verse 15 up. Because again, this is as true and straight out as anything Jesus could possibly say. If you love me, you obey what I command. I took all of those side roads in trying to explain these verses, which again, I call them quicksand verses for a reason. But it really goes back to verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And we can go down all those side roads, which I kind of did. We can look at it from different angles. We can try to expound and explain and try to understand. But it always boils down to the... And that's why I think verse 15 is written the way it is. Because really, friends, it goes back to the simplicity of that verse. If you love me, you will obey what I command. So friends, let's get back to obedience. Let's get rid of the things in our lives that we know are wrong. God is waiting for you to take a step of faith and to put that particular sin or that whatever it is that you're holding on to, he wants you to put it at the altar as a living sacrifice. Let him consume it. And let the love of God so penetrate you with the knowledge of the love of God that sin will no longer even be something you think about. Because when you think about the love of God and you understand how God loves you, how he has always loved you, then that sin will eventually dissipate. You know, I made a really good living when I used to wire houses before the 2008 housing drop. And the reason I made a good living doing that is because I knew how to wire homes. But if I were to go back a little further, the real reason is because my friend taught me how to wire homes. And if I were to go back even further than that, I would see that if I didn't take a step of faith and get out of the restaurant business that I was in for 15 years and earning good money there, if I didn't take that step of faith, I wouldn't have gone into the wiring business, and the wiring business wouldn't have led me into ministry eventually. In other words, no matter how far back you go, God is always there. The love of God is always being demonstrated. All right, I can beat that horse to death, and it could still be something that we need to hear every day. God loves you no matter what. Let's continue on. Verse 25. It says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you these things now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe me." Let's stop right there. Kind of sounds like Jesus is setting them up for a great big celestial, I told you so. I like verse 29, and it says, "I have told you these things now before it happens, so when it does happen, I can say I told you so." Well, that's not what he says. He says, "so that you will believe." But the incarnation of God is about to leave the disciples, and they are frightened, they are scared, and they are confused. But Jesus leaves them everything that they will need. Remember, the Holy Spirit, like eternal life, is a free gift from God. It's just like the love of God. We do not earn it. It isn't something we can buy or go out and get. It is something that is a gift, and it is free from God. But before we read the last two verses in this chapter, consider this. The security of God's love and his indwelling. Consider the security of his love and of his indwelling. And going back to verse 23, says, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come," listen, "we will come to him and make our home with him." And nothing produces the security than knowing that God lives inside of you. like a confident teenager. Studies have been shown that a teenager that grows up to be confident and righteous and you know, doesn't get in a lot of trouble, it's because of the support and the love and the involvement of their parents in the child's life. And there is a big difference between familiarity and intimacy. The former happens in marriage, that is familiarity, but the latter, intimacy, is something that is hard to come by. It is something you must work for and towards. God knows and loves everyone, but intimacy comes through knowledge. But understand the meaning of the word knowledge. Genesis 4:1 says, Adam knew Eve, his wife. And Genesis 4:17, Cain knew his wife. And 1 Samuel 1:19, Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. God knows you. Jesus knows you. But the intimate knowing that we talked about just now in the Bible, which was a intimate knowing, i.e. a sexual consummation, well, that is what God is trying to get us into. If you can get past the sexual connotations of what the Bible means when it says new, you would see that what God is trying to develop is an intimate, that close of a relationship, something that is that deep and desirable. God knows you and Jesus knows you, but that intimate indwelling, well, that, friends, is a gift. Now, remember, these disciples are frightened about what they just heard. But Jesus said in verse 26, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. And along with it will be revelation and discernment and wisdom and knowledge of me and my Father will be coming to you. But if I were to say to you, starting tomorrow, there'll be a new radio preacher at this time. Or maybe if a dad were to say something like to his six-year-old, son, I'm leaving you forever, but don't worry, Uncle Joe is going to raise you. And he's a good man. He has my blood in him, and he's as good as I would be as a father. And he loves you, and he's a great uncle. But the child would be like, but it's not you, Dad. I want you. And this is what the disciples were saying. You know, Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you a comforter who's not only me, but even better than me. We are going to be indwelling in you, and we're going to move from just a knowledge of each other to an intimate, I knew you type of relationship. And what activates that power and that intimacy? The same thing that activates everything in Christianity, and that is faith. And Jesus says in verse 27, I leave you with peace. And whenever you obey God, his seal is always that of peace. There's always peace in Jesus. And he says, this isn't the peace that the world gives you. It's my peace. The problem with worldly peace and worldly effort to bring peace is that it wears off. Whether it's drugs, that's going to wear off. Whether it's a diversion in your mind to something else or thrill-seeking, drama, it all wears off, but not the peace of Jesus. That is here to stay. It is unshakable, and according to Paul, it transcends all understanding. You know, even in the most violent hurricanes, 10 feet below the water is pure calmness. And then reading on in verse 28, you know, we saw that he gives them the assurance of his return. He says, I'm coming back. Don't worry about it. And there are over 300 references to Christ's second coming. So he gives them all the peace, all the assurance, everything he'll need, they will need rather, to get through his leaving. Jesus closes this out by saying, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Friends, the Holy Spirit inside of you is God inside of you. And because of that, you will never be alone and you will never have to fear. We have not only the promise of going back to the Father, but we have the promise of Jesus one day coming back. And he is going to fix this world. And when he does, God help you if you are on the wrong side of his judgment and his wrath. because it is coming, and it is coming soon. And my prayer is that these verse-by-verse Bible teachings will bring you into a deeper, more solid relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name I ask these messages go forward. Once again, we encourage you to go by the washandword.com website for all the information and all these messages. Have a blessed day.